Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Dishatarini Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaya Vacha Patitanang Bhavanevya, Vancouver devotees, Namo Namaha. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarariva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Harenama, Harenama, Harenama Aiva Kevalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. So we are continuing our seminar. I'm very grateful and humbled by this opportunity. So today, chapter 5, Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not carry out the orders of his teachers, for he was always engaged in worshiping Lord Vishnu. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj, even by having a snake bite him and by putting him under the feet of elephants. Yet Hiranyakashipu was unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, had two sons named Shanda and Amarka, to whom Prahlad Maharaj was entrusted for education. Although the teachers tried to educate the boy Prahlad in politics, economics, and other material activities, Prahlad did not care for their instructions. Instead, he continued to be a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj never liked the idea of discriminating between one's friends and enemies. Because he was spiritually inclined, he was equal toward everyone. Once upon a time, Hiranyakashipu inquired from his son what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. Prahlad Maharaj replied that a man engrossed in the material consciousness of duality, thinking this is mine and that belongs to my enemy, should give up his householder life and go to the forest to worship the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu heard from his son about devotional service, he decided that this small boy had been polluted by some friend in school. Thus he advised the teachers to take care of the boy so that he would not become a Krishna conscious devotee. However, when the teachers inquired from Prahlad why he was going against their teachings, Prahlad taught the teachers that the mentality of ownership is false and that he was therefore trying to become an unalloyed devotee of Lord Vishnu. And that is our desire also. When you join this movement, when you take up the path of Krishna consciousness, when you subscribe to Prabhupada's philosophy, the conclusion is that you want to become an unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna. After all, we are the Krishna consciousness movement. So once you have really heard Prabhupada, you become convinced, yes, Krishna is the goal of life, and I want to become his unalloyed devotee. All in favor, chant the Maha Mantra. The teachers, being very angry at this answer, chastised and threatened the boy with many fearful conditions. They taught him to the best of their ability and then brought him before his father. Hiranyakashipu affectionately took his son Prahlad on his lap and then inquired from him what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. As usual, Prahlad Maharaj began praising the 9 processes of devotional service, such as Sravanam and Kirtanam. So that verse is quoted so often by Srila Prabhupada. That verse in Bengali is in a song, Vajahure Mana. So let's remember that verse. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavetanam Iti Pungsarpita Vishnau Bhaktischain Nava Lakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatya Dadha Tanmanyeditam Uttamam. And if you look at that verse, that purport is several pages. Perhaps it's the longest purport Prabhupada wrote in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, because he takes each of the processes and gives a very long, nice, detailed explanation of the 9 processes of devotional service. And I don't know if it's there. I have a feeling it's there. But there's one sentence that always stuck with me, that by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you become attached to chanting the holy name. So that's one reason why we come to this Bhagavatam class, so that we become more attached to Krishna's holy name. And once you become attached to Krishna's holy name, the proof is you want to learn more about the science of Krishna consciousness. So one feeds the other. Nicely you're hearing and chanting, then you want to study more. And by really studying, then you want to perfect your chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus the king, one more point. So after Prahlad enumerated the 9 processes, Prahlad said, this is the topmost education. And in my own life, I can get some appreciation of that. For instance, my wife joined this movement. She didn't finish second year of high school. She left high school at 16, showed up at the door of Toronto Temple at 9 o'clock at night, and never looked back. And, as it turns out, at some point, she wanted to get a job and do things. So she never went back to school. She just applied what she learned from Prabhupada. She's a legal secretary. How? Just by applying what she learned from Prabhupada. Myself, I didn't go to college. I lasted not even a half a semester. I became a hippie. But then I stumbled, and Krishna picked me up, Prabhupada and the devotees picked me up. But here I am, traveling all over the world, preaching. And I feel that where did I get my higher education? I got my higher education in the University of ISKCON by hearing Bhagavad Gita and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and reading Prabhupada's books. I don't feel that I am lacking anything. I feel fully confident. I feel fully satisfied. I can converse with anybody on anything. I have very good shelter just with Srila Prabhupada's books. So Prahlad said, this is the topmost education. And so we should not hesitate, not fear. Just simply learn Prabhupada's books. That will keep us going. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, became extremely angry, chastised the teachers, Shunda and Amarka, for having wrongly trained Prahlad Maharaj. The so-called teachers informed the king that Prahlad was automatically a devotee and did not listen to their instructions. When they proved themselves innocent, Hiranyakashipu inquired from Prahlad where he had learned Vishnu Bhakti. Prahlad replied that those who are attached to family life do not develop Krishna consciousness, either personally or collectively. Instead, they suffer repeated birth and death in this material world and continue simply chewing the chewed. And I must confess, I have lots of experience chewing the chewed. Before becoming a devotee, I was addicted to chewing the chewed, looking everywhere, where is happiness? And all I was doing, chewing the chewed. But then Prabhupada came, and my first taste of prasadam, that was it. My first taste, I knew, I can't get this food anywhere else in New York. I must join this temple just for the food. And yesterday I remarked, I was sitting with some devotees, your Vancouver prasad, super excellent. I'm looking forward. Is there another feast tonight? I'm thinking, like yesterday we fasted. So when it came time, I was just, wow. So I'm thinking of doing the same thing. So, there's another feast tonight?
Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking about that. Vancouver Prasad Ki.
Yes.
They suffer repeated birth and death. Prahlad explained that the duty of every man is to take shelter of a pure devotee and thus become eligible to understand Krishna consciousness. So, here is Srila Prabhupada. We have his books. Let us take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and understand Krishna consciousness. Enraged at this answer, Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad from his lap. Since Prahlad was so treacherous that he had become a devotee of Vishnu, who had killed his uncle, Hiranyaksha. Which Vishnu was that?
Varaha,
yes. Hiranyakashipu asked his assistants to kill Prahlad. The assistants of Hiranyakashipu struck Prahlad with sharp weapons, threw him under the feet of elephants, subjected him to hellish conditions, threw him from the peak of a mountain, and tried to kill him in thousands of other ways, but they were unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu, therefore, became increasingly afraid of his son and arrested him. The sons of Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, began teaching Prahlad in their own way, but Prahlad did not accept their instructions. While the teachers were absent from the classroom, Prahlad began to preach Krishna consciousness in the school, and by his instructions, all of his class friends, the sons of demons, became devotees like him. So here is a Mahabhagavat. Mahabhagavat, by his presence, is able to make others devotee. For me, my Mahabhagavat, right there, Srila Prabhupada. Since he came to America in 1965, which was the greatest day in American history, according to me, September 17th, when Prabhupada arrived at the Boston Pier and wrote that wonderful poem you were mentioning, Jai Govinda. I also, every year, I do a class on Prabhupada's poem every year. I find that that poem is like my, you know how you take your car in and you get a tune-up? I find that reading Prabhupada's poem is a spiritual tune-up for me, especially because my service is preaching. And that poem is, to me, epitomizes what is the mood of a preacher. My Lord, you have brought me here somehow or other. Now make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. So if ever I'm worried, if ever I'm in, I don't know what to do, I'll read that poem and I'm ready to tackle the world. I'm ready to go out there and preach Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we see Prahlad, by his preaching, was able to convince others. The history is there. Prabhupada came, preached in New York, made some good early disciples, then went to San Francisco. He came to Montreal, one of the first places. He went to Canada. And by his preaching, he was able to convince others. And then, as time went on, with another thing about Prabhupada, is that he convinced his disciples to go out and preach. That is another aspect. You know, somebody can be a very powerful spiritual person, but to be able to instill the same thing in others, that is a different talent. The ability to make other preachers. And we see that is how this ISKCON movement will grow. More and more preachers. So, in my life, what I try to do, my whole aspect, I am preaching in such a way as I also want to enthuse and encourage others to become preachers. That is how I see my perspective, that I should speak in such a way that others want to go out and preach. So that is how this movement will spread. Every one of us, in your own way, in your own field, somehow or other, preach this Krishna consciousness. That is how we can begin to repay the gift Prabhupada has given us. In your own way, whether you're a housewife or you work in the world or you're a temple manager, everyone should see themselves as I am preaching in this movement of Krishna consciousness. And your preaching might be to your children or to your husband. Yes, sometimes you have to preach to your wife. Sometimes you have to preach to your own mind. So everyone is a preacher. Go out there and preach Krishna consciousness and be happy. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even the pujari is a preacher. This whole movement is preaching. The pujari on the altar and those who are dressing the deities, we want to do everything so nice that when people come, they're attracted. Everyone should see themselves. I am a preacher. I am a soldier in this preaching movement. Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. This chapter describes Prahlad Maharaj's instructions to his class friends. In speaking to his friends, who were all sons of demons, Prahlad stressed that every living entity, especially in human society, must be interested in spiritual realization from the very beginning of life. That's a question you sometimes get. When should one start this spiritual life? Prahlad says, Kaumara, from the tender age of 5. What does Vedanta Sutra say? First line, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. You're a human being, your priority, self-realization. So Krishna consciousness begins from the moment you wake up. You may wake up at 30, you may wake up at 5, you may wake up at 65. Whenever you wake up means you realize, then you should never, it's how we say, better late than never. So it doesn't matter. You may have, like for me, I joined this movement when I was 23. I wish I had found it when I was 16. Would have saved me a whole lot of grief. And I see some, like the children that are born in this movement, they're so fortunate. So whenever you come to the point of Krishna consciousness, begin. When human beings are children, they should be taught that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the worshipful deity for everyone. One should not be very much interested in material enjoyment. Instead, one should be satisfied with whatever material profits are easily obtainable. And because the duration of one's life is very short, one should utilize every moment for spiritual advancement. There's a nice line in the first canto. Prabhupada says, material well-being automatically follows spiritual well-being. So if that clicks, if you get that, then you'll know, let me make my spiritual life my priority. Everything else will automatically come into place. In my own life, I had certain desires. Okay, when I joined Krishna consciousness, I put those desires aside. I just concentrated on just trying to be a devotee. Little by little by little, without seeking it, those desires were fulfilled. I wanted, throughout my whole, before becoming a devotee, I was looking for my soulmate. Couldn't find it. When I joined this movement, I said, okay, maybe I shall become a sannyasi. But then, after 7 years, it was revealed, you're no sannyasi. But what did Krishna send? The ideal soulmate. Then, also, since I was 7 years old, I wanted to sing and play music. Then, at a certain stage, the temple president said, Nirantara, here's $50, go buy a guitar. Haribo! That came from Krishna, right? The temple president, representative of Krishna. So now here it is. I have this unlimited facility for preaching. Unlimited, I'm allowed to go anywhere in the world. My wife has allowed me just to do preaching. So simply do Krishna consciousness, all your desires will be fulfilled. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because the duration of one's life is very short, One should utilize every moment for spiritual advancement. One may wrongly think, in the beginning of our lives, let us enjoy material facilities, and in old age, we may become Krishna conscious. Such materialistic thoughts are always useless, because in old age, one cannot be trained in the spiritual way of life. Therefore, from the very beginning of life, one should engage in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. That is the duty of all living entities. Material education is infected by the three modes of nature, but spiritual education, for which there is a great need in human society, is transcendental. And that reminds me of another thing. Being a preacher means being a teacher. We are meant to teach others, amongst ourselves and everyone. We are meant to teach them how to love Krishna. That's all we're doing, is teaching people how to love Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj disclosed the secret of how he had received instructions from Narada Muni. By accepting the lotus feet of Prahlad, who is in the parampara succession, one will be able to understand the mode of spiritual life. In accepting this mode of activity, there is no need for material qualifications. Yes, whatever you have, use that for Krishna. Not that I have to learn something and then do Krishna. No. You've already acquired so many things already. Whatever you have now, use it for Krishna. And what is that? When I joined this movement, they were always quoting that verse from the, I believe it was the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I preserve what you have, and I carry what you lack. And anyone like Radhika, you've done so much Sankirtan. You should have books worth of realizations on this verse. Yes. You just go out and you'll be surprised how Krishna empowers you. I'm realizing that every time I go out and preach. And as far as preserving what you have, so when I joined the temple, I didn't play the guitar. For 7 years, I didn't touch a guitar. When the temple president said, go buy a guitar, I hadn't touched a guitar in 7. I could play better than I used to play. It was like, what? I never played that good. So it was like, it was a confirmation. I preserve what you have and carry what you lack. That whole incident just convinced me that this Krishna consciousness, I should have complete faith. Throughout your life in devotional Krishna consciousness, every so often there will be these major events which will confirm for you, yes, I have made the right decision. And when those moments come, it is a tremendous boost of energy for you that you know you're on the right path and you can see success, full success is on its way. And therefore you become more enthusiastic. What is your, I like this thing that you have been telling me, ACE. What are the three things? Was that?
Attitude.
Commitment, E for enthusiasm. I like this. I'm going to try and memorize this. I'm going to start preaching on that. Attitude, commitment, enthusiasm. You have taught me something this trip. May Krishna bless you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. In this chapter, to dissipate the doubts of his class friends, Prahlad states how within the womb of his mother he had heard from the mouth of Narada Muni, who had instructed him in Bhagavat Dharma. When Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom and went to the mountain known as Mandarachala to execute severe austerities, all the demons scattered. Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was pregnant at the time, and the demigods, mistakenly thinking that she carried another demon in her womb, arrested her. Their plan was that as soon as the child took birth, they would kill him. And while they were taking Kayadhu to the heavenly planets, they met Narada Muni, who stopped them from taking her away and took her to his ashram until Hiranyakashipu's return. In Narada's ashram, Kayadhu prayed for the protection of the baby in her womb, and Narada reassured her and gave her instructions on spiritual knowledge. Taking advantage of those instructions, Prahlad, although a small baby within the womb, listened very carefully. So these are the things that Prahlad was learning. The spirit soul is always apart from the material body. There is no change in the spiritual form of the living entity. Any person above the bodily conception of life is pure and can receive transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is devotional service. And Prahlad, while living in the womb of his mother, received instructions in devotional service from Narada Muni. As you see, this reminds me what Lord Chaitanya taught when preaching to Prakashananda, when preaching to Sarvabhauma. Lord Chaitanya said, the Vedas are only teaching three things. First, sambandha, that you have an eternal, forgotten relationship of service with Krishna. It's there already. It's just you have forgotten it. You have given it up. Then, once you are convinced that you have this eternal relationship of Krishna, service to Krishna, the next question is, how should I act with that understanding? That is called abhideha. Practical activities that reinforce this understanding that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And the spiritual master engages you in vaidhi bhakti, devotional service under rules and regulations. And if one strictly follows all the items of Vaidhi Bhakti, naturally and gradually one comes to the stage of Raganuga, where it becomes spontaneous. And it's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. You come to this spontaneous stage by strictly following Vaidhi rules and regulations. Prabhupada has given us so many rules and regulations. If we strictly follow, gradually, naturally, automatically, it will become spontaneous devotional service. Both of these are under the platform of sadhana, devotional service in practice. Then, when we leave this body and we go back home, what was that word? Back home, back to Godhead, then the real devotional service is entered. So this is such great information that we are going back home, back to Godhead. And what we're doing now? Apprenticeship. We are practicing, training, learning. And this stage, even this stage, is blissful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any person engaged in the service of the Lord through the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master is immediately liberated. Wow, I got to read that again. Any person engaged in the service of the Lord through the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master is immediately liberated. And being free from the clutches of Maya, one is relieved of all ignorance and material desires. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus become free from all material desires. Regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection. That's an important point. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. Many times I preach, if you look at Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, Krishna explains, these are the qualities of a Brahmin, these are the qualities of a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. But then comes the equalizer. Krishna then says, now I will tell you how all of them can achieve perfection. So it's not just for the Brahmins, even the Shudra can achieve perfection. What does Krishna say? By worship of the Supreme Lord. And how do you worship the Supreme Lord in the age of Kali?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada has given us the path of perfection. I forgot to mention. So after Abhideya, there is a third goal. The Vedas are teaching three things. The whole purpose of Abhideya is to achieve prayojana, love of God. I love this concept of love of God. Well, as soon as I found out this concept of love of God, that's when I became totally happy. Because being a hippie, I was looking for love. And Prabhupada so nicely pointed out, yes, that missing, you want to love. Prabhupada understood, you want to love, but you don't know where that loving propensity should be placed. I tried to love Dina. I tried to love Michelle. I tried to love Linda. But what happened? Blues. Simply singing the blues. And before becoming a devotee, at one point, I was so miserable, I was thinking of suicide. Thinking of it. And by Krishna's arrangement, my brother had been in New York on the subway, and somebody gave him some book. So my brother saw me lying on the bed. He threw the book on my lap. And what was that book? Beyond Birth and Death. I was thinking about it, and what book did Krishna send me? Beyond Birth and Death. Krishna works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? So Prabhupada is pointing out, learn how to love Krishna. Then your loving propensity will be satisfied. Learn how to love Krishna. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Regardless of material condition, one can achieve this perfection. Devotional service is not dependent on the material activities of austerity, penance, mystic yoga, or piety. Even without such assets, one can achieve devotional service through the mercy of a pure devotee. And that's why we need to become pure devotees. If we just look what one pure devotee did. Now, if all of us become genuine, pure devotees, we can transform this whole planet. So we need to become, I need to become a pure devotee. That's why one of these days I'm going to get a jacket. You know, athletes, they have those jackets, has their sports team on it. I want to get a jacket that says, pure devotee in training. That's how I see myself. I want to become a pure devotee. There's still time, but I'm in training. And if we become, each of us become pure devotees, we can turn this hell into heaven. So, let us all try to become pure devotees. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Therefore, my business is to encourage you, enthuse you to become a pure devotee. And do me the favor, please, try to enthuse me, encourage me to become a pure devotee too. Yes, thank you. I'm very grateful for that. Chapter 8. Lord Nrisingadev slays the king of the demons. I read this chapter yesterday, and after reading the chapter, I was so fired up. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrikeshari. So that's a new name. Everyone say Sri Nrikeshari. Half man, half lion, and killed Hiranyakashipu. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu. That's a preacher. Look at that. All of his classmates became devotees. When this attachment became pronounced, the teachers were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry, Prahlad fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him. But he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and he began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, and that no one is equal to or greater than him. That word, asamardva. Can everyone say? And the Lord is all-pervading, Vasudeva. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. Peter, can you give us a tumultuous sound? Thank you. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasingha. Everyone say,
Narasingha.
Half lion, half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death. And thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time. And in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, but killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. And I mentioned last night that besides taking out Hiranyakashipu's intestines, the Lord took out his heart and threw it away. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pittas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, and the Kinnaras, and many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. And I was reading those prayers this morning, and many of those prayers, they kept referring to the Lord's nails, how it was the Lord's nails that did so many things for them. And those prayers nicely presented for the pleasure of Lord Nrisingha. You get a glimpse into the consciousness of the person who is speaking. When Lord Shiva offered his prayer to Lord Nrisingha was to glorify and request Lord Nrisingha to bless Prahlad, which I find significant because one great devotee is showing compassion and respect for another great devotee. Lord Shiva is the best of all the devotees, yet he's able to recognize that this Prahlad is also a great devotee of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Would anyone like to share anything? Radhika, I know. Wait, take the microphone. Yeah, get the microphone.
Sentence. That perfect roar that Bhakti Peter made in Sanskrit is called Kolahala.
Kolahala.
A glorious sound.
Jai. Anybody else want to share? Yes, Prabhu.
Commenting on chewing the truth, Srila Prabhupada gives an example of a series of goats aligned to the good tree, like chewing some grass, not knowing that they are going to be killed.
Yes. Anything else? Anyone else want to share? Our temple president has anything to share? Peter? Vyasapadji? Anything to share? Yes, Patrick.
I just want to share my gratitude for having you here and enlightening us this way. I feel really blessed.
I will try to do better, and if Krishna allows, I can come back next year. If you aren't tired of me, and you say, oh, not him again, man. He's... Anything else more to share? Questions? Okay.
Are you coming back?
What?
Are you coming back?
When? I don't know. When Krishna allows it. Do we have permission to play one song on the guitar, or is that,
yeah.
It's okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, that doesn't take long. If you want to play drums and kartals, because I'm going to do Nisringa prayers. Not bad. Let's see. You have good picks. Very good. All right. I guess Lord Nisringa appeared again. All right. Does anybody want to play my shaker? Can anyone play? Play the shaker. All right. Harimo.
Namaste Narasingha Bolo. Prahlada Lada Dayane. Hiranyakashi Purvakshaha. Janka Nakalaye Ito Nisinga Adato Nisinga Yato Yato Yamitato Nisinga. By here Nisinga Vidaye Nisinga. Srimadin Sharanam Bhapaje. Everyone clap your hands and sing. Javakara Kamalavare Nakam Adbhuta Sringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Chandu Bringam Keshavadita Dada Hadi Ruba Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Bolo! Hey! Nada Jay Keshava Drita Nada Hadi Rupa Tajagadisha Hare Tajagadisha Hare Tajagadisha Hare Nada Jay Jagadish, Sa Jagadish, Sa Jagadish Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One more time. Nisringa Bhagavan ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki, O Premanande.
Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
So just a very brief announcement that the Lord Krishna Day's festival will continue this evening starting at 6:30 p.m. And we have wonderful Bharatanatyam dance this evening, as well as fantastic drama. And the kirtan, with Pushpanjali offering of Pushpa to Lord Krishna Day, kirtan will be led by His Grace.
What time is that? Okay. That's the last thing? Yeah, I think it said 8:30. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.